Let's take our Bibles and continue on in our study in the book of Ephesians. We're coming to the end, and in fact next week will be the last in our series in Ephesians, and it's been a lovely time for me. I'm not quite sure how it's gone for you. I've really enjoyed it. It's the first time I've ever taught Ephesians through. I've given a few messages out of it from time to time, but I've really enjoyed the blessing that's come to my own soul as I've looked at this book and recognized in it that there's a theme that goes all the way through, and the theme is that God has a plan. God's plan, we've noticed, is in two stages. The first stage of God's plan and His ultimate plan is to unite all things under His feet, under the feet of the Lord Jesus, to bring everything back to Himself just where it was when He created it. But of course sin and rebellion has entered into it, and sin and rebellion has destroyed what God had purposed and planned. But God will win. He's working out His plan, and His plan is that He brings everything back to Himself through Jesus Christ. And of course He includes us in that plan. He deals with the question of sin, He chooses us, He deals with the question of sin, then He stamps us with the Holy Spirit, with the seal of possession, the seal of ownership, so that we are able to say we belong to God. And that's marvelous. And then the second thing we noticed about God's plan, stage two of it, was that God would bring each individual that He had brought back to Himself, He would bring them together and make them a church. He'd make them a family. He'd make them a spiritual building. He'd make them a group of believers, a church, a wonderful thing, living, growing, loving, caring, serving. And then He would take that unit that He had made and send them out into a world of rebellion and sin and a world that didn't acknowledge Him, and through them He would win the world for Himself. And that's God's plan. Well, we've come right through it, and we've seen in chapter 4 and 5 that we as believers have got great responsibilities to make sure that we bring our lives into line with God's purpose and plan, and that every single obstacle to what God intends to do is removed individually, collectively, in my personal life, in my thought life, in everything about my actions. Everything about me must be brought into the purpose of God. And the other week we had a checklist that wasn't very pleasant, but it's something that we had to do. And then last week we noticed that we had to apply two more tests to our lives. The first test in chapter 5 towards from verse 3 down to verse 14 was the light test, the test of light. Does our life, do our thoughts, do our actions stand up under the light of God? The light which is pure, the light which is holy, the light which will expose everything that's contrary to God's nature and spirit, the light test. So allow your life and every part of your life to come under the test of God's light, His searchlight. The second test we had to apply was the wise test. Is it wise? Is it good? Is it helpful? And that was the second test in chapter 5 and verse 15 we read. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 17, do not be foolish. And so we saw that there was a wise test that we had to perform. But we're moving on today through Ephesians, and I'm asking you then to read with me, and I'm going to read from verse 15 of chapter 5 through to chapter 6 and verse 9. Will you follow in your Bible, please, while I read it here? Chapter 5, 15 through to 6, verse 9. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, or redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all of your heart, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. And be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also to be subject to in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor and without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Even so, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. This mystery is a profound one, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your earthly masters, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as to Christ. Not in the way of eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same again from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And masters, do the same to them, and forbear threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. May the Lord bless this portion that we are to look at today, and let our hearts be challenged by it, because you can see that it's going to test every single one of us in terms of our relationships. So our topic today is bringing our relationships under the Spirit's control. Bringing our relationships under the Spirit's control. Now, we've just talked about the Holy Spirit in chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19. And one of the things I hope you've learned as we've been through this study together is that we must never take portions of the Word of God out of its context and simply speak about it as if it can mean something all on its own in isolation. That's how false teaching comes in. This book was written as an entity. It was written as a single unit, and we must accept it as a single unit. I don't believe the people who received this were theological students. I don't believe that the people who received this were able to sit down and analyze every single Greek word and noun and verb and all the other things. They were ordinary people. They were people just like we are. They were husbands and wives and fathers and children, and they were just workers in town. So they were ordinary people, and the message then of Ephesians has to reach to us as ordinary people, touching us in our lives exactly where we are, so we don't need theological degrees to understand what this word says to us today, this morning, here in Craigmore, as a family of people who really want to know what God wants us to know. And so there's a whole series of things we are to see. We can't simply pick on one verse and say, right, let's have a sermon on one verse, because that one verse fits within the whole context. Notice the context here. You've got a whole series of things. I'll get organized here, and then we'll be right. Look at the context, a whole series of commands. Firstly, in verse 15, be careful how you live. Then in verse 16 it says, redeem the time, in your Bible maybe. Well, I've changed the word redeem. I've used it, the word here, to buy back. And that's what redeem means, to purchase back. It says, purchase back something for God because the days are evil. And so there's the responsibility that we as Christian people have in this day and age. This day and age is an evil day and age when the things of God are not promoted, when the things of God are challenged, when the things of God are being torn down. Now you and I individually have the privilege and the responsibility of buying back something for God, of recovering the things that have been snatched out of God's hand, out of God's control. That's the role we've got as believers in the world. And don't forget that. I'm coming back to that time and time again today. Look at the next thing. It says, we are to understand the will of God. We are to be filled with the Spirit. Now here is a whole series of instructions that come to us one after another. And so we can't simply take one of them out and say, let's concentrate on that. The whole series of them flow straight through. And that's what we have here. So we move on now, because in chapter 5:21, I believe, comes the key to all of this. Look at 5:21. It says, now submit yourselves, every one of you, to one another. Submit yourselves, every one of you, to one another, out of your fear for Christ. Here is the key to effective service for God. Here is the key for God's plan to be fulfilled. That when you and I, as believers here in this church, as we believers, submit ourselves to one another. Now our world is full of self-seeking. The wisdom of the world says, seek for yourself. It doesn't matter who gets trodden on. It doesn't matter who gets hurt. Get it if you can. And so you go everything for yourself. The spirit of the world is a spirit of rebellion. The spirit of the world is to disobey authority. And so as believers, we are now told that there is a way to buy back something for God in the middle of this world of ours that is rebellious, that is disobedient and self-seeking. And the way for us to buy back something for God is that we should submit ourselves to one another. You and I will change what God, change what the world does. We'll change it. Why? Look at verse 21. Out of our fear for Christ. Out of our reverence for Christ. We will change what the world says. We will deny the world any place here. We will deny the world any influence in our hearts, in our lives, in this church, in our families, and so on. So the key to all relationships is this verse here. Submit yourselves to one another. Why, last week I remember as I was preparing this message, I was thinking of what I said. My last words almost to you last time we spoke of it was this. Why, if we are all filled with the Spirit and we're full of joy and we're loving and serving and so on, none of us will want to go home. Well, it'll be quite the opposite. If we're all submitting ourselves to one another, we'll all want to go home because it'll be a great place to be. You see, that's what's going to happen. None of us will be self-seeking. None of us will be doing our own thing. None of us will want it our way. None of us will want our own ideas. Every one of us will be deferring to one another and encouraging one another, because that's really what it all means. Now, if this is the mark of a Christian, it's the mark of an effective Christian. For you see, as we submit ourselves to one another, we will consider others. We will encourage others. We will serve others. We'll do all the other things. And if you stop and think about it, that's exactly what Jesus did. He did not think of himself. He thought of you and me. He did not consider what he would get out of it. He considered what we would get out of it. And here is a revolutionary thought, therefore, for the whole of the pattern of Christian living and Christian relationships. Now, we've just noticed that we should be filled with the Spirit. I said to you last week that you should read in the Acts of the Apostles and notice what happens when people are filled with the Spirit. When people are filled with the Spirit, we will be just like Jesus. We will be pure, we will be holy, we'll be full of love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and meekness and all of those lovely qualities. That's what we'll be if we're filled with the Spirit. And when the Spirit of God within our relationships encourages us to do what He wants us to do, we will consider others before we consider ourselves. We'll not seek our own things. We'll seek the good of others. And so there is a marvelous standard given for us, the standard that Jesus gave us. And so when we do consider one another, why, there's a lot of things going to happen. We'll be loyal to each other. There'll be no backbiting. There'll be no gossip. There'll be no slander. There'll be no moving around causing difficulty. There'll be respect for one another. There'll be an encouraging of one another. There'll be a support for one another. And the reason for all of these things is that we will have a... It's because we have a reverence for Christ, a fear of Christ. Now, friends, I don't know whether you grasp what I'm saying to you. You and I know that in our world today, Satan has sought to oppose every single thing that God has done. When God institutes the family, Satan opposes it, and there is a breakdown in family life today. You don't need me to tell you that. But maybe we need to see it in the context of what happens. Why is there a breakdown in family life? Because the spirit of this world has grabbed hold of the minds and the thinking of our people today, of our nation today. There is a breakdown in marriage. And what a tragedy to read of the constant breaks in marriages. And we have to say, hey, that's the spirit of the world that's come in. The spirit of the world, it even is affecting believers, Christians today, because this great problem is there. Satan is attacking. And there is a breakdown in society where everybody's after the best he can get, the best deal for me and mine. And he goes for himself and he doesn't really care who gets hurt. Three great areas that are being attacked by Satan: marriage, the family, and society. And every one of those attacks can be summed up in these one or two words: self-seeking, disobedience, and rebellion. Now, we're to reverse that. Why? Because we're believers. We're to reverse that because we belong to Christ, because we acknowledge Christ as the Lord of our lives. You and I can have no part of the world. We can't allow ourselves to be controlled by the world's thinking. We're to be controlled by what the Spirit of God says. The Spirit of God wants us to be like Jesus. The Spirit of God wants us to humble ourselves. The Spirit of God wants us to submit ourselves to one another. So as I submit myself to you, then I'm more concerned about you than I'm concerned about me. As you submit yourself to me, you are more concerned about me than you're concerned about yourself. And so this, when that happens, won't it be lovely? When all of us start to take care for one another, we start to share with one another, we start to love one another, we start to do for one another. And look, it's a very interesting thing. It's not that I, as one of the elders of the church and so on, can put my coat tight and take my big Bible and bash you over the head and say to you, submit. I can't do that. Because it says to you there, as it says to me there, submit yourself. Submit yourself. It's your choice. It's what you have to do. It's what I have to do. And I can't make you do it. And I can't force you to do it. But the Spirit of God says, submit yourself. Submit yourself. Submit yourself. because you love Christ. Submit yourself because you belong to Him. And here is the pathway of a Christian. So we go on then to the examples that Paul gives. And so it's not a question of any one of us saying, do this, do that, because the Bible says so. It's the question of every one of us understanding what the Bible says. And do you know, it gives us examples. The first example, and I think chosen because they're the best of the lot, the wives. Wives are shown the way of how they can buy back something for God in this day and age when Satan is in the world destroying what God wants them to do. And do you know that there is no verb in that next statement there? See, your Bible's got wives, submit yourselves or be subject to your husband. That isn't in the Greek. It's not there in the original. It simply says, this is how to do it. Wives to your husbands. Wives to your husbands. So the wives are picked out first, and they're given that first place of priority here, as I say, because they're the best. They're able to pick up something and say, yes, I'll do what God wants me to do. I'll do it to my husband. I'll do it to my husband. Not because your husband's nice, but because, why? Look what the Bible says. Chapter 5, 22. Why do you do it to your husband? Why? Because you... Tell me. Why do you do it to your husband? Because, as to the Lord, it's what the Lord wants you to do. Not because your husband's nice, he could be a rotter. To the Lord. To the Lord. And so we bring our lives under this Word of God. And so we've got a wife who's given the first opportunity to buy back something for God when the world is saying, forget Him, walk away from Him, you don't have to put up with this. That's what the world says. But God says, submit yourselves, submit yourselves, submit yourselves as to the Lord. There's not a wife here who wouldn't have a problem submitting to the Lord. You'd love to submit to the Lord. Well, there's a good way you can show Him that you do. Submit to your husbands. So wives, but notice the next statement there. It says, submit to your husband in verse 24 in what? In what? To what extent? In everything. Hey, listen, I'm not saying this. It's not for me to preach to you because I'm scared of the next verse. I tell you what, I'd rather be a wife having to submit to a husband than have to be a husband having to love my wife like Christ loved the church. That's tough. Wives, you want to change place with me, you're welcome. That's tough. How can husbands do that? You see, we've got to buy back something for God. And wives, every wife that's here, I'm begging of you, you buy back this area for God. Though the world is saying to you, don't do it. Why waste your time? He's not worth it. That's what the world's saying to you. You listen to the world and they'll say you don't have to put up with it. Listen to the world. They say walk away from it. Listen to the world. The world says you don't need any of that. There's plenty of other options for you out there. We'll support you. And the whole of our system of government and the whole of our worldly idea says you don't need that. You can live without that. There has to be a better way. That's what the world says. But the Bible says there is no better way. Humble yourself. So wives, will you buy back something for God? Well, husbands, I'm sorry about this, but I have to talk to you too. I mean, I don't. The Bible does. And I say I'd change places with any wife in this place if I could get out of this. I have to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And if I love my wife as Christ loved the church, totally selflessly, totally sacrificially, in a way that gives and gives and goes on giving, in a way that nourishes and encourages and builds her up. I tell you what, there's not too many wives here who would have a problem yielding to a husband who did that kind of thing to her. Every wife that I've ever seen who's happily yielding to their husband does so out of respect for him because of the quality of the man. The fights, the squabbles, the problems that we have come when the husband doesn't love as Christ loves. And I hear men getting around saying to their wives, "Wife, submit." Well, the wife can equally turn around and say, "Well, you love me like Christ loved, and I'd happily submit." But listen, there's something that has to come into here. The Bible doesn't say submit when he loves you like Christ. The Bible doesn't say love her like Christ when she submits. The Bible says do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. And so it's unconditional on my part. It's unconditional on your part, just as it was unconditional on the part of the Lord Jesus. And I am challenging every husband here to look back over this past week, and I say to you, have you loved your wives like Christ loved the church? Now, don't ask me that question, because I'll be embarrassed. But I have to ask you that question, because I happen to be standing here with the Word of God in my hand. This is a boomerang, I tell you. It comes back and hits me fair between the eyes. But as we love our wives, as Christ loved the church, then we can expect God to do great things. And husbands, we must buy back something for God. Let's get back into the plan of God. Husbands, each one of us, let's buy back this area and let's start loving our wives as we ought to love them. Children, your pathway is a pathway of obedience. I'm a father and I can't walk up to my son and say, "Son, obey me." My son has to choose to obey me. My daughter has to choose to do it, just as I as a husband have to choose to love my wife as Christ loved the church. He has to submit himself. Debbie has to submit herself to her parents. It's a choice that she makes. The spirit of the world is disobedience, and disobedience is the mark of our age. And the Bible tells us in the rejection of the gospel, one of the signs of it is disobedience to parents. The Bible tells us in the last age there'll be disobedience to parents. Children will refuse to obey their parents. Now you Christian young people who are here, the mark that you can buy back something for God, a role that you can have in buying back something for God, is a pathway of obedience, not a pathway of rebellion, not doing what the rest of the kids in society do, not doing what the kids on the soapies do, argue with their parents every time the parents say something, but obeying and yielding and submitting yourselves to your parents. Submitting yourself, and the young children here, every one of you, you at school still, you who are moving out into the workforce, you who are moving out, here is the word of God. Submit yourselves. Oh, by obeying your parents, it's the right thing to do. It also gives you a promise, and none of the rest of us get promises. But you get one. The children get a promise that they're going to live a long time. That's what the Bible says. It's a promise and the rest of us don't get it. But you get it. And the mark of a truly Christian child who wants to buy back something for God is that there should be a spirit of yieldedness, submission and obedience, and not rejection. And parents, why, though it says fathers in some of the Bibles, the Greek word actually combines both father and mother, parents. We parents, our role is not to provoke our children or to stamp on our children and keep a heavy hand on our children and suppress them. Our role is to encourage them, to bring them into line disciplinedly, carefully, but to bring them up in the fear of God and remembering this one truth, parents, that the only single thing that you have on earth that you can take to heaven are your own children. And if you don't take your children to heaven with you, what a terrible tragedy. You can't take your money. You can't take your house. You can't take your career. You can't take your job. But you can take your children with you. And the Bible gives us a very clear instruction as parents that we are not to be negative, bossing over our children and forcing them to yield, but rather to encourage them, give them reason to respect us, and reason to yield. and then we can go on as time gets away from us. Employees, your Bible says servants or slaves. It has an idea of employees. We are to serve God in whatever capacity we have, willingly, honestly, selflessly, obediently. We are to do all of those things. Why? As we submit ourselves to one another, then we're on the side of God. As we submit ourselves to what God wants to do, then we bring ourselves within that plan and purpose of God. And there's not an employee here who would serve Christ in a shoddy way. There's not an employee here who would be dishonest if Christ was his boss. Well, the Bible says, to the Lord, to the Lord, to the Lord, as from the Lord, serving the Lord. We are serving the Lord when we serve our bosses, whether it be Holden's, or whether it be the Craymore Christian School, or whether it be the government. We're serving the Lord. And we are to be honest and selfless, and we are to be obedient and willing, just as if we are serving Christ himself. We are to submit ourselves to one another, not going for our own things, but going for the things of Christ. And then, of course, employers. Not many of us are employers, but some of us may be. It's interesting. In chapter 6, verse 6 there, it says, 9 says, masters, do the same thing for them. In other words, you've got to treat your employees as if you were their servant. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus did that. He treated his own disciples as if he were their servant. He washed their feet. And if you're a boss, you don't get anywhere by bossing over people. You get far more done, according to God's purpose and plan, by yielding, by submitting, by serving, by giving of yourself. That's not what the world says, is it? It's not what the world says, not what the unions say either. But I don't think the unions take too many of their principles from what God says. I don't think the unions are governed by what God says. It seems to me they're governed by the spirit of the age, the spirit of the world. But we're Christians here. Friends, we've got to buy back this whole area of our relationship for God. We've got to buy it back. You know, I can't determine what's happening out there. I have no control over what the government can do. I've got no area of government that I can influence except by my vote in the ballot box once every 3 or 4 years. I've got no influence over what big business is going to do. I can't say a word about what happens here, there, or everywhere. I can't even interfere with what my neighbours do. I can't stop the kids coming up and down our street making a noise or a mess. I can't stop kids breaking glass on the reserves down here. Not a thing I can do about any one of those. But here is an area that I can do something about. It's the area that's in my control. It's the area of my attitude toward you. And my attitude toward my wife. And my attitude towards my children, my attitude towards my fellow workers and those for whom I work. I can control that. And that's why the scripture says, submit yourself. You can't make me. I'll do it myself. And no husband can make his wife submit woman. You can't do that. The woman has to choose to do it. Wives, you can't say to your husband, love me like Christ. He has to choose to do it. And every one of us here today, we've got choices to make. And I guess if we were to be truly, really honest, there's not many families here where the wives are really submitting themselves as if they were submitted to Christ. And I'll guarantee there's not many of us as husbands who are truly loving as Christ loved the church. And there's not many children here who are truly obedient as if they were obeying Christ. There's not many of us as parents who are truly caring for our children, in fact, submitting ourselves to our children. Some of us see ourselves as the doormats of our children. Some of us see ourselves as being trodden on by our children's whim and will. No, let's be truly submissive. And as we choose, then we're going to defeat what the world is saying. We're going to win back a whole area for God. And if the 250 of us are sitting here today, decide to do what God wants us to do, if the 250 of us here submit ourselves to God, if you do it, I do it, what a blessing our lives are going to be. This will just transform us. Because instead of self-seeking, instead of wanting to do our own thing, we'll be caring for one another. Families will come alive. And I tell you what, the whole street will know it. The whole community will know it. A whole area will know it. And it'll be like a raging fire that just spreads through this whole community. As we do what? As we submit ourselves to one another out of fear for Christ. Well, it's a choice. The elders can't say to you, submit. They don't. They say, will you? Will you? Here's what the Word of God says. Wives, I can't say to you, submit. I can't. But the Word of God says, do so. Husbands, I can't say, love your wife. The Word of God says, love. Submit yourself to your wife. That's what it says. Submit yourself to your wife. And as we bring our families under this, that's when the Spirit of God is going to take over. And this church is transformed. Marriages revitalized. Marriages brought back into the joy that they ought to have. Family relationships where tensions are, those tensions will disappear because we'll be what God wants us to be.